isolated showers with a high at 83. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Hope you guys are doing well and hope you guys are excited for a fun one that we have planned for you here on the show. I talked about it a good bit yesterday, and the day is here. We will be joined by arguably Chase, one of the heaviest hitters, the hardest hitters, one of the most feared guys to walk across really this campus, but not just really here. College football in general, man. Reuben Foster, former Alabama linebacker, will be joining us here on the show in about 20, 25 minutes or so. So make sure you guys are ready for that. Definitely going to get his thoughts on this Alabama football team. Might go back a little bit, but definitely want to talk to him about our defense, right? What we could expect. You know, me and Reuben both played against Gus Malzahn. So obviously there's a lot of experience with that and kind of have an idea on what it's like going against Gus Malzahn offense. So definitely want to dive into that with Reuben. And if you guys have any questions that you might want us to ask Reuben, make sure you guys drop them for us. You can do that here on YouTube. Again, we are streaming live on YouTube, so you guys can drop those questions there. Or you can always download that Tide 100.9 app and leave them in an app message where we can get those there and read those as well. But really looking forward to that conversation. I think it's going to be really really informative, really exciting, and just some good stuff for you guys. So make sure you guys are ready for that. Again, in about 20 minutes or so, probably around 11:30 Central Time, give or take, we should be joined by Reuben. So be on the lookout for that. Definitely going to continue to talk about this matchup. We talked about the developments yesterday. Tim Keenan going down in practice to appears to be an ankle injury. It's been reported that he will undergo tightrope surgery if he hasn't already undergone that at this point. And I'll give you guys a little bit more context on what that is, time frame wise, how that might look. I personally have never had a tightrope surgery. I have had a high ankle sprain. And I'm not, again, I'm typically that's what it's for, right? A high ankle sprain is why you get tightrope surgery. So I'm just assuming I'm putting everything together. Probably dealing with the high ankle sprain. I did suffer a high ankle sprain when I was with the Carolina Panthers. So I'll give you guys kind of an idea on how that is, because I don't know if people understand, but there's a big difference between, you know, rolling your ankle, tweaking your ankle in just a regular fashion and a high ankle sprain. They're two totally different things, and hence why one can require, not necessarily require, but, you know, it could be recommended you do a surgery. Again, I'll dive into that here in a second when we get a little bit more time. But that is kind of what's the latest with Tim Keenan. Again, no official timetable, but I will give you my idea on kind of what that may look like based off of my experience and my teammates' experience, all that good stuff, and plus what it might look like without Tim Keenan this Saturday. So definitely going to continue monitoring all that, talking about all that. Plus, Hey Coach was on last night. Not sure how many of you guys caught it, but Coach DeBoer made his first appearance of the season, and he was joined by Ty Simpson. So got some clips from that we definitely want to pull and listen to. A lot of good stuff from that last night. Again, you can always attend Hey Coach at Baumhauer's Wednesday evenings throughout the season. I know a lot of people like doing that. I've been over there. I was supposed to attend it. Was it last week I was supposed to do it? But I had something come up, couldn't make it. But anyway, Hey Coach, remember, always on Wednesdays for you guys that do like to attend it. In other news, we might be able to dive into some of these other games when we get some time. Again, Texas, Ohio State, a really big matchup, Clemson, LSU. A lot of good football this weekend, so hopefully if we have enough time, We'll definitely try to dive into some of those games, kind of just preview and maybe preview a couple more SEC games, look around the conference and see how everybody's kicking things off for this 2025 football season. Chase, I have to say, man, quick little, I guess not story, but shout out to my buddy Tyler, right? I told you guys, he just opened up a new bar. And yesterday, it's called Two Dimes. So on this trip yesterday, they had their grand opening. And Dustin Lynch, Chase, I don't know if you, I don't know how big you are in the country music. Are you familiar with Dustin Lynch? Chase?
You there, Christian?
Yeah, are you familiar with Dustin Lynch?
A little bit, I am. Why do you say so?
Yeah, so yesterday there was a grand opening for my buddy's bar that he just opened on this trip. It's called Two Dimes. And he actually had Dustin Lynch come perform. And my brother was, you know, playing as well. My brother, you know, went on first and Dustin Lynch followed. But it was cool, man. It was cool. I'm glad I was able to get out there and go and hang out for a little bit. I used to listen to Dustin Lynch all the time in high school, man. Like Cowboys and Angels, Small Town Boy. I don't know. I'm sure you probably, those are, you know, his classics for sure. But anyway, it was cool, man. And that venue is insane. Again, they took over Druid City Music Hall, completely redid it. And I mean, they've got a huge screen in the back. I mean, the production that they've put in there, man, the lights. I mean, it's literally, it's crazy, man. It's a really nice venue, man. So shout out to them again. It was a really, really fun event. And hey, man, you know what? Honestly, it was, not only did I get to enjoy that, and I chopped it up with Dustin afterwards, man. Super cool dude, by the way. Really down to earth, man. He thought it was the coolest thing that I do broadcasting. But I even got to practice my Spanish, man. Ran into one of the workers there, and hell, I got to speak Spanish, practice for about 10, 15 minutes or so. So I was like, you know what, man? This is a very successful night, man. Got to celebrate the grand opening of my buddy's new place, and then speak some Spanish, hear Dustin Lynch. Pretty cool night, man. But anyway, that was yesterday, so that was cool. But if you guys are in town, man, definitely check that place out. It's got like the Nashville vibe to it. Kind of got like the rustic look to it, you know what I mean? And they're having all type of performers come. And again, this is not like a sponsor thing. I'm just telling you, like, this is, it's a cool place, man. Like they have like it's very Nashville based, and I mean they have a lineup of so many artists coming to town, and it ranges from country artists to, you know, EDM, more of that, you know, the techno side of things, electronic, what's the house music, I think. Sorry, I'm not the best with all that stuff. But anyway, really cool stuff that they've got geared up. But really cool to see Tuscaloosa develop, man. Because like going back from when I first got here and seeing now everything that they're adding in. Hell, I even think they're adding like a water park out in Northport. Have you heard about that, Chase?
I've heard a little bit about that too.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. There was supposed to be a Sports Illustrated resort that they were adding, but allegedly, I don't know what happened with that. Or, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if they put pause on it or they're still doing it, but I don't know. Tuscaloosa's coming along. So that being said, we need this football team to, you know, keep winning because that's what makes this place grow even further, right? I mean, obviously, we know Coach Saban kind of was a spark for all this change over the last two decades. Coach DeBoer? We need some more dubs. We need some more championships, man. I need this place to keep growing, man. Tuscaloosa is a great place, but, and I know some people probably listen like, oh, no, we don't want more stuff, but I'm like, there needs to be a little bit more here, a little bit more. It's getting there, but it's not quite there yet. Anyway, that being said, really cool evening yesterday. Shout out to Two Dimes and Tyler and Rick and all those folks at Grant that came together to put that on. All right, we got to hit our first time out. We come back. We'll dive into a couple of things before we will be joined by former Alabama linebacker Reuben Foster, again, breaking down this FSU-Alabama matchup, talk a little Gus Malzahn, talk a little bit about this Alabama defense. We'll get our thoughts from a dog, if he sees any dogs, on this defense. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store America.
Results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Man, you got to check them out if you are dealing with any type of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it. Check them out. You will not be disappointed. It's a simple process. Put them in your tennis shoes, work boots, high heels. Damn it, it don't matter. Whatever you got on your feet, these inserts can go right inside of them and they'll get to work, man. So make sure you guys check them out. Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa. Goodfeet.com. Find the nearest location to you. Type in your zip code. It'll pull them all up. They're all over the place, right? We got listeners literally from east to west, north to south. You can find a Goodfeet store near you. Trust me. And you definitely should. And you should take advantage of the Goodfeet store because I'm telling you, they are game changers. They've been lifesavers for me. I'm back to running like I used to. I used to love running first thing in the morning. I'm back running, doing a little bit more treadmill type stuff right now just because asphalt is still hard. But I will say, though, Goodfeet Arch Supports, man, game changer, especially for a long football season. All the walking around you're going to have to do, I'm going to have to do especially, you definitely want a pair. So make sure you guys check them out. Again, that is the Goodfeet store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. All right. So while we're waiting on Ruben again, it should be in about 10 minutes or so. Might push it back a little bit, but no worries. I promise we'll get Ruben on here. We're going to chop it up, talk Bama football, Bama defense for sure, and a little Gus Malzahn from our experiences. But I want to start here because we have a good question in the YouTube chat. Again, you can come check us out on YouTube at the Miller's Edge. If you haven't already, man, what are you waiting for? Don't miss out. Again, you can interact in the chat, drop questions, talk amongst each other, watch me. We got Daryl, man, who's helped kind of influence us to change the layout, which was a good thing. It ended up being a good thing. I told you a story about Daryl, and he's still on it, man. I had played an interview yesterday, and I left the layout a little, I guess, like the old way, right, where I'm in the side of the screen and he's jumping me on it. So we got a nice, pretty old layout where you can see me nice front and center, nice and clear. So come check us out if you haven't already. Anyway, we got a good question here in the chat. MC had basically said, and it kind of piggybacks off of what Q06 brought up yesterday, the injury to Tim Keenan, which I'm going to get into that injury and give you some technical stuff on what that looks like. But first, let me say this. MC says, Christian, in your opinion, at what point do you have to dial back the intensity in practice to help prevent injuries when the season is right around the corner? Really good question, right? But, you know, I'm gonna say what I was saying yesterday to Q06, man. People kind of have to pick or choose. Not you, MC, but in general, because a lot of the time, like Q06 was saying, everybody's talking about how soft football is. They don't tackle enough in practice. That's why we're seeing poor tackling in the games. They got to go back to being physical, beating each other up all the time. And again, when my dad would make those comments, all our listeners were hooting and hollering and cheering like, yeah, he's right. And I'm sitting here like, I get what you're saying, but there's only so much you can do from a logical standpoint. I mean, there's literally a reason that football has evolved to where it's evolved. And I'm not saying I agree with everything. I think we're hypersensitive with a number of things, a number of calls. However, I do believe with the implementation of the tracking systems, right, the GPS systems that you can wear, right, that can tell these coaches, the training staff, how much mileage, so to speak, these guys are putting on themselves, right? I mean, how much they're running, what's their workload, top speed, their output. There's a reason that they're tracking that stuff, and scientifically, right, which I know people are sick and tired of analytics and science. Hell, I am too half the time. But I think it is important to monitor that stuff because you can really sense, you know, what's worth it and what's not, or when you're starting to get up in that high gear where you need to pull back from that perspective, right? In terms of the practice style type of deal, you know, I was talking about this, and Coach Saban always said this, you know, most injuries occur in football. And I'll fly over this because I know I was saying this during the break with our YouTube listeners. Most injuries occur when guys are on the ground. I don't remember the number he had for it, but it's a very high number, like majority of injuries, out at least contact injuries. Not talking about the non-contacts that could happen whenever, training, 7-on-7, whatever. We know about those. But in terms of like the contact ones, it happens when guys are on the ground, typically, right? You know, offensive linemen falling on each other, legs getting bent weird ways, legs getting planted in the ground. You know what I mean? Like, and it's not always that. Like, for example, like Jam's collarbone. Like, I was at the scrimmage. I didn't even see the play. Honestly, I didn't see the play. But, I mean, it could have happened whenever. Maybe it didn't have anything to do with on the ground. That's one thing. And I wasn't physically there to see, you know, Tim get hurt. But, I mean, to me, when I hear high ankle sprain with the defensive lineman, more than likely, there were guys on the ground. So with that being said, I say this. To me, you got to have the right balance. We never went to the ground in practice. The only times we took guys to the ground at the University of Alabama when I played under Coach Saban was during scrimmages. Those were the only times that we went to the ground, is when we had a scrimmage, whether that was spring, fall camp, whatever it was. We never tackled in practice. We did thud. And what thud is where you go to make a tackle, right? You go wrap the guy near leg, near shoulder. You practice all those same, you know, techniques that you would in a regular scrimmage, but you don't finish the tackle. You go thud them up. You give them a good thud, right? You go hit them. That thud's not just like, oh, go wrap them up and then like, you know, hug them and then tap them on the back and say, good. No. Thud is like, I mean, he's going to try to lower his shoulder. You're going to try to go hit him. You know what I mean? But then you wrap him up, drive your feet and let go. Now, obviously, we do know in thud too is there's going to be a difference. Like for me as an edge guy, right? So they run, you know, outside zone and I set the edge and that back, you know, he just gets, you know, just outside. Say I don't set a perfect edge and he bounces outside. Normally in a tackle setting, I'm going to get off my block and at least dive and try to make it. I'm not doing that in thud, right? I got to take the L. I didn't set a clean enough edge. In a game, I know that I still, yeah, technically I might not set the perfect edge, but I can always still dive and lay out, make a tackle. Or if I'm going to, you know, chase a running back from behind, like say, you know, they run, you know, zone opposite way. I get a down block by the tackle. I'm running the line. I know in a game I can run and lay out and try to make a play from behind. In thud, I'm not doing that, right? In the scrimmage, yes. That being said, that was always our tempo. I felt that our defenses were not even felt statistically. You can go look at it. We always had, you know, arguably the best defense in the country. And we never did tackle. And so that's why I always tell people, like, I don't think it's people are so quick to say, oh, man, they got to tackle in practice. Like, that's why, I mean, like, could it probably help your technique? Sure. I do believe, yes, less tackling can and does lead to more, you know, issues tackling in the game. However, if you are coached up right while doing like a thud tempo, personally, I don't think it would hurt too much because it didn't hurt us that much. And if anything, it actually teaches you to learn how to really go, you know, fire your guns, what we used to call it, you know, near leg, near shoulder. You really have to have perfect technique because if not, like I said, you don't have the luxury of just diving and laying out. It really forces you to try to get in position to make a clean routine tackle when you have that thud setting. So that would be my answer. I do know Coach DeBoer. They do go live from time to time, not all the time. And I think it's like certain periods, but they do go live every now and then in certain periods. I can't remember if it's like goal line stuff, in which, to be fair, we did that in the NFL sometimes. Most NFL teams never go live anymore, ever. Some do. Pittsburgh, they go live. They have live periods. With Matt Rhule, with Ron Rivera, we didn't have any live periods. With Matt Rhule, we had some live periods, which was a little weird to me because, like I said, I never did that in college. That's definitely a college thing. But really, it's just about having good practice habits, protecting your guys, too. Even if you are going to go live, I mean, you can't. The injury is going to be inevitable regardless. But at least, you know, protect your guys, right? Don't do anything dumb. If you feel you're about to dump somebody, excuse me, don't do it. Don't throw a guy on the ground intentionally. Like, that's the dumb stuff you can do. If you're going live and you know, make a tackle, y'all go to the ground, cool. But if you know, like, you're in a bunch and you wrap a guy up, don't sling him. Like, stuff like that is how guys get hurt. So, to answer your question, yeah, I think there's just, I don't know. It depends how you go about it. I mean, my dad just hopped on here. Welcome him in, and we'll get his thoughts because, I mean, he definitely did a bunch of live tackling drills. I mean, he used to talk about in the league, they did a whole bunch of live tackling drills. So he definitely has a thought. But did you want to chime in real quick on your thoughts? The question basically was like, what's the proper kind of balance between, you know, going hard in practice, having that physical intensity in practice? That way you get good looks. That way you can obviously prepare, you know, for the game, but also not risking having your guys get hurt. Because you weren't on yesterday, but I'm sure you're aware, but Tim Keenan, starting nose tackle, is out. He's having tightrope surgery, which you're familiar with that, on the, you know, high ankle sprain, which I'll say this real quick. I haven't mentioned it. High ankle sprains, totally different than a lower ankle sprain. Lower ankle sprain, you're talking about just, you know, a whole bunch of ice, right? Bunch of, you know, rehab, stuff like that. You know, there's no tightrope you're getting for that. It's going to get the swelling down, you know, making sure you're trying to stay active on it. You're talking about a week, maybe two, depending on how severe it is. And you really, you know, shoot it up, ice it up, and more than likely, you know, you should be back pretty quick. That being said, a high ankle sprain is totally different. High ankle sprain is a totally different mechanism. And you're talking about at the minimum, probably 4 weeks at the minimum. When I had my high ankle sprain, I was out 6 weeks in NFL. Granted, I didn't get a tightrope. That's the purpose of the tightrope. The tightrope is basically, and I can pull up a little video, but basically they're going in there, they're adding like, and there's different ways to do it, but normally it's like they, I wish I had the anatomy to show you guys, but you got like the bones, they basically put something in there to kind of bring them together, that way they heal quicker. And it's a really quick process. The surgery does, it's not like some big invasive surgery. It's really quick and easy, but I know Anthony Jennings had a tightrope surgery. He was back in a few weeks. Tua Tagovailoa had a tightrope surgery. I think Jonah Williams, a number of guys, I mean, literally a whole bunch of people. So it's really, it's not a big deal, but in terms of a time frame, I would tell you guys from my experience with my teammates, well, my experience without a tightrope, it was six weeks. With a tightrope, I mean, at the earliest, I think maybe 3 weeks. I think Anthony might have been practicing around 3 weeks, but you could tell he had this big cast thing on his cleat. I mean, he just wasn't fully there. The good news is that defensive tackle, he could probably get back a little bit quicker because it's really going to be about managing that pain in that 3 week window. But taking on double teams is going to be hard when you don't have that strong of a base, obviously. But versus like Ryan Williams trying to run around with the ankle like that, I'm not going to lie, a high ankle sprain is it hurts, man. It feels like you got pain shooting up your leg. Again, it feels totally different than like a regular ankle tweak. But did you have any thoughts on the whole, the balance in between tackling and whatnot?
Not really. I mean, it's I don't understand y'all's era. Let me just put it to you that way, because, you know, football has always been football, and tackling is a part of football. And yes, can you control it? Does it have to be 100% live? No. You know, when I played, we had the live periods, short yardage, and even goal line. Those were the hardest one because, you know, you're talking about leverage and who can be the lowest. You know, I'm talking about a lot of bodies on top of each other on the ground. So there was more chance of injury based on short yardage and goal line live plays. But, you know, 907, 707, we didn't do live. You know, move the field, we didn't do live during those periods. More so just the short yardage and goal line stuff. So I don't know. I think, listen, now they got dummies. Tackling dummies. The last I watched football, dummies weren't out there running the football. Dummies wasn't making juke moves and spin moves and all this stuff. So I'm a little, I don't like it that they've taken away the physicality of the game. And I think that shows on Saturday and or on Sundays when you see so many missed tackles, guys just look foolish sometimes trying to make tackles, defenders. You know, the way you get better at tackling, to be a great tackling football team, you have to tackle. I mean, period. You have to tackle. So, I don't know. I think they get your fundamentals goes out the window. I think things like that happens just because they're so cautious now when it comes to tackling. So I don't have a ton. I just know that you can still be physical and you still can't control practices without taking to the ground. I mean, you can, Yard just used the word thud up, you know, butt up. You can do that all day long. So I don't know. You just don't want guys falling on the ground and falling on each other. So you try to protect that. But the dummy situation, tackling dummies don't help you tackle. It's just ridiculous. They might as well not even do it. I mean, I see all these drills and they're throwing dummies out there and they hitting them and falling on a pad. I mean, that's like something fifth graders will use. It's like you got grown men out there hitting dummies and falling on the ground. Get your tail up and go try to play some real football. That's just where I'm at.
Okay. All right. Well, and by the way, if you're wondering what the hell is on the screen right here on the stream, so this is like one of the forms of doing a tightrope surgery. Like I said, it's about bringing those bones together, right? Because it's an injury to like the uppers. As you can see, it's almost like quote unquote, above the ankle. You know what I mean? And basically what that does is, you see how it's pulling the bone back there securely? That's what a tightrope surgery is, right? So it's speeding up the process instead of waiting naturally as that process would occur. You're just going in there, applying the tightrope, keeping it together, because that's why it hurts so bad, shooting up your leg, what I was talking about, is because it's, you know, there's injuries to those ligaments right there. And, you know, it causes, you know, some separation, as you guys can see. Want to preface by saying, not preface, I guess I already said it. I am not a doctor. We are proudly partners with Andrew Sports Medicine. If we have time, I'd love to get them on there. I don't know how much they'd be able to talk about it, because obviously they work, you know, with the football team.
Why are you talking about tightrope surgery so much?
Because Tim Keenan, did you not hear what I was saying?
I heard you said about it, and that was a tightrope.
Yeah, so he's undergoing tightrope surgery, and I just was explaining it because
This is a very normal thing now. I mean, Alabama actually one of the first schools to start this. You know, the high ankle sprains, because they're one of the hardest ankle sprains to get over and get back on the football field. But I remember, I think Alabama's one of the first teams, Dr. Kane, you know, performing this type of surgery that, you know, basically cut time about 60% faster getting on the football field. You know, because high ankle sprains, is you get those, man, it just lingers. I mean, just hard to get back on the field. They could take, you know, 6-8 weeks, just depend on you know, the pain management, that type of thing. But with the tightrope, we're talking 2 or 3 weeks. I think Tua Tagovailoa had it. I mean, when he had a horrible ankle sprain, I think he was back in 2 weeks and he played. Of course, that's quarterback now. You're not talking about playing a position where you're doing a ton of cutting. But that's going to be difficult a little bit for Tim Keenan. Now that you said that, just because the torque and the pressure that you put on your ankle.
Double team,
have to, you know, near shoulder, near knee. Yeah, that's something when you're talking about turn technique, when you're taking on a double team and you got to put, you know, so much pressure, 600 pounds of pressure coming on that ankle. So that could be kind of tough. But you know, they have perfected these things. And so, you know, you're talking about 2 or 3 weeks, he'll be back. So
2 or 3 weeks, maybe back practicing a little bit. I would not expect him really playing.
I'll give him 3 weeks. I bet he'd be playing.
Well, this is what I was saying. I mean, I think – so Anthony Jennings had it. Matter of fact, when we played Florida State, was it that year? I want to say it might have been when we played Florida State. I think he might have had one around then. But typically, you can get back out there around that 3 week mark. But it's because as you guys can see, it's securing the tibia and the fibia back, you know, tightly. But the problem is, it still hurts like a mug. Boy. I mean, and you can wear the big brace and try to secure it as much as possible. I mean. Yeah, maybe I'd say probably 3 weeks would be like the earliest I'd expect him to see him like playing in the game. I mean, he'll be back moving around on it, but like you said, it's something that lingers, man. It doesn't just like you get a tight rope and you just feel better, man. And it's definitely not. High ankle sprains suck. Like when I had it with the Panthers, that was the first time I've ever had one. And I thought I broke my damn ankle. Like, that's how bad it hurt. I couldn't walk on it at all. I mean, it's bad, but you're right, man. It'll take some time. But anyway, so that's some updates on that. You get that. You heard his perspective. That's what I was talking about, MC. A lot of people swear that. But I was saying earlier, man, before you hopped on here, we never went full tackle to the ground with Coach Saban other than scrimmages. And I feel like we were one of the best tackling teams. We were definitely one of the best defenses year in and year out. And I feel like we tackled just fine. That's why I think it's just really about, if anything, you can look at it this way. Like you're talking about the pads and stuff. But when you have thud tempo, it actually forces you to put yourself in position to actually make a cleaner tackle, because you're not just flying, like diving around, doing, you know, things that you typically wouldn't be doing, if that makes sense. I don't know. Well, I guess you still be doing.
They done done everything they can for injuries all across the board. I mean, the NFL kickoff sucks right now. It's a stupid. don't even have kickoffs. I mean, it's the dumbest rule ever. You know, you're tackling dummies. You got grown men out there playing bouncy on pads. Like, it is a contact sport. It's been happening for years. Guys have gotten hurt. We get it. And we understand that. You can't don't play tackle football no more. Play flag. I mean, that's where we're going. I mean, what else can you do? You know, everybody gets hurt. Oh, then you're looking at, well, they were tackling. Well, you tackle in the game. I mean, It has to happen, folks. Stop all this foolery. I mean, I'm sorry that he hurt his ankle, but he'll be okay. 3 weeks, he'll bounce back. You're going to miss time. It's called football. It is the most violent, gladiator, physical sport there is. That's why we love it, okay?
I disagree on that. I ain't going to lie, man. I've gotten into watching UFC. I'm not going to lie. I got to give them that.
Nah, dude.
You're getting elbowed and kneed in the
man, they
the
out,
nose.
They out there with head. Tights on and barefoot. Give me a break.
Yeah, all right. I love to see you getting the octagon right now. I love to see you
getting there.
You get in there, you ain't getting out. You get in there, you ain't getting out, unfortunately.
All I'm going to do is
we don't want to see that happen.
If I get these things on them, I'll choke them out.
Brother,
submission, big
Derek Lewis, because you were heavyweight, big dog. Look him up, big Derek Lewis. Yeah, John Jones.
John, yeah, okay.
Somebody in the chat, tell this dude about the he must not.
I've seen it. Listen. I watched it the other night.
Former Panther Greg Hardy. Now you might have a chance because it's big and violent on and off the field, which is this. Terrible, but I'm just saying this dude's got a lot of issues. It's crazy, he always finds a way to get knocked out. So maybe you have a chance
That's fighting. I'm talking about sports, bro. I'm talking about.
It's a sport. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
All right, well, put these whoever name you're calling. Put them out there in the 907. Uh-huh. Put them out there running down. Let's see what he had when he get busted in his chin. Let's see what that happens.
I think Derek Lewis could play football, brother. Derek Lewis.
Why is he playing? Why isn't he playing?
Because he's cheating. Because
99% of people that even play football can't play at that max. So bro. You can have your little octagon ring and dude out there with a bunch of tights on trying to fight. That's street fight.
That big Derek Lewis right there, throwing them hooks. Big Derek Lewis. Okay, you don't think that big son is gonna play football? Come on, man.
And a lot of people get street fight. I mean, let's talk about real something that people are excited about.
Let's talk
about
this.
It's called college football.
Absolutely.
Out the gun myth.
Absolutely. So what we're going to do is take this quick timeout. We're still working on getting Ruben all set to go, so we'll definitely get that here in a minute. But we'll keep on talking Alabama, Florida State this weekend again. Like Carson said, two nights in a wake-up. You guys love using that term. Somebody else used that the other day. Anyway, two nights in a wake-up. We're taking on Florida State. We're going to keep talking about it. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We'll be right back.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard, aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama
Quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, if you're wondering, now we got, just like I said, turn the volume down. And he said, oh, my God, I know what I'm doing. First thing that happens, TV comes on, volume all the way up, and I was right. Sorry. Now we got practice clips on the screen. I know some of you guys are probably, why the hell is Derrick Lewis in UFC was on the screen? Supposedly the Pastor Payne claims that he could step foot.
I don't even know who Derrick Lewis is. Okay, so that's the main thing. So that's all.
Well, if you're going to step in the octagon, you might want to familiarize yourself.
I'm not stepping in the octagon.
I got to interject with this one. I can't.
Please, Chase.
I got to let you know, it is different in the UFC. I've been to an event in New Orleans. I felt the same way before I went. Honest to God, they are wrecking machines. if they really wanted to commit to football, they would. I wouldn't say they wouldn't be the same as you, because you're a dominant force on the football field and you know what it is, how I feel about it. But they could go toe to toe with some of the players you see in the NFL today. Now, technique and stuff, you have them in that regard. But how malicious they get, especially like John Jones, Daniel Cormier, people like that, I'm telling you, you do not want to get in the ring with them. They respect you, but it's different when in that octagon.
Chase.
Sorry,
Chase.
Yes, Pastor Payne.
Have you ever seen live 907, live short yardage and goal?
Live goal. Listen, have I'm you ever seen you, I have.
Derrick Henry coming downhill and put you at that Mike linebacker? You understand? These little dudes that's got no shoes on and tights rubbing up against man on man, rubbing up private parts against. On the ground, as my mom used to say, wallowing around on the ground. Come on, man. Don't even compare it. The fact that I'm feeling so disrespected right now, the fact that y'all are comparing these two dudes, talking about an octagon, this whole build-up of UFC fighting to the National Football League, the hardest, maybe one of the basketball's hard, too, to talk about making it to the top. Church, do you understand that 99%, 98% of college athletes can't even play? Do you understand how extremely difficult it is, guys? Do you understand this? There were some tough guys that could fight. They had street in them. They from the hood. They can throw these things, right? They can throw.
Both
took them at them. You know what? I knew many guys like that and could not play a lick of football. They were soft as Charmin tissue. They were soft as dude wipes. You get me? I mean, so So listen, that's one thing. I mean,
you are right. I agree. There has been some big dudes that like tried to come walk on the team, and they had all the muscles, and then they got on the football field, and it was literally like the biggest disappointment. I agree with you, but I also have, like you just gave the example to Chase, lined up against Derrick Henry and had to bring him down. I did that. Literally, I lived that when we had our scrimmages. I've also lived those 9-on-7 drills, like all my whole time here at Alabama. So I'm with you, bro. But I also know it's one thing to be wearing a helmet and shoulder pads. I know you got to be strong, big, bad, physical. I played with the best of them, the biggest, the baddest of them, played against them in the SEC, played a few years in the NFL. But here's the thing, man. It's a whole different ballgame where you're talking about somebody trying to kill you with their bare hands in an octagon with a whole bunch of that. You talk about closest to gladiator. Granted, I mean, these dudes, when they see you get knocked out, they smell blood and they start grounding and pounding on your head like that, like Rampage Jackson's son just did to that poor veteran that was in that indie wrestling league.
This is organized football. You know, when I smash somebody, if I smash Emmitt Smith, I mean, ain't like I'm going to go down and start choking him. I mean, we don't do that. I mean, but
they,
I got to be. Yeah, but that's different. I'm just saying. Like you're talking about a street fight. Let's go.
I mean, you know what? How about this? Because we need other phone lines real quick. But how about we're going to get Eric Anders on the circuit. Look, he played football, and now he's converted to a UFC fighter. He's a perfect person to ask. As a matter of fact, I might shoot Tyler. Yeah, I'm going to shoot Tyler a text and see if he'll tell him just call in real quick, like hour number two maybe, because he started as linebacker here, played, and then was a great football player. Then now he literally is still fighting the UFC. He'll be able to explain the difference right there. Let's go to the phone lines real quick, 205-342-9904. We got Robbie Glenn up first. Robbie, welcome in.
Hey, guys. I forgot what I was going to talk about after listening to y'all this whole time. That was awesome. y'all just keep talking. Can I call him or something? I just want to see what y'all's table's like.
No. We needed to cut him off. He had too much dip on his chip, Robbie. He's over here talking about he'd go take down UFC heavyweight champions. So I'm like, brother, we need to get back to football, man. He's got too much tobacco in that pipe.
You said it just right, though. You got to get Eric Anders on because he's done both at the high level. So, I mean, he can at least give some insight on that. But I'm also excited about Reuben Foster coming on. Because, I mean, that man was.
He's probably asleep.
I'm texting him again. You know, he might be.
You watch any videos with him, and man, that he used to just knock people out. Like, he was just a header. So I'd like to see how he would adapt to today's game. Like your dad's saying, it's gotten soft or whatever. You can't hit anybody anymore. Like, how he would adapt to this, because he used to just decapitate people.
Yeah, I love Mr. Kickoff. Because he played football the right way. Nasty, with an attitude. I mean, he would put the thing on you. That's what I'm saying. Now, these guys, go watch these linebackers at Alabama play, and then go turn the tape on a Reuben Foster, and you're going to see a dramatic difference of physicality and just heart and just the will to want to knock somebody out. There's a difference. There's an attitude. And that's what I'm saying. The game has caused this. How they practice has caused this. It's soft. The NFL, college football is soft. I mean, both of them are extremely soft now.
And they have changed it a lot to protect players, but yeah, still physical, but not like it was. But I got quite, you know, with the injuries going on with Jam and now with Tim and of course Roberts with the concussion. Do they? Mm-hmm. I don't know if Tim will be able to travel, but Jam and them get to travel, or does that hurt on the roster limitations when they travel? Do they still get to travel with the team and be on the sideline and give their leadership there, Christian, or does that count? Or are they allowed to do that?
Yeah, no, they should be able to travel. Only time you don't typically travel if you're injured, if it was like when maybe Tim doesn't travel if say, like, his surgery just, like, maybe he just had it. He needs to, you know what I mean, like, be doing rehab or attended to or something like that. But normally if, like when I tore my biceps, like, I was going to be out for a long time. I didn't travel to away games, right? But for somebody like Jam, who's probably going to be back in a few weeks, Tim, again, as long as, you know, he already had the operation, he's, you know, doing what he needs to do, they should all be able to travel. It's normally just, like, the guys that are out for, like, a season or something really long, or you have to, you know, do something in terms of, like, surgery, rehab, then you typically don't.
Okay. Because Yeah, I mean, I know next guy up is going to be playing, and they're going to do great, but you still got to have those guys that have been battle-tested, and those guys have. So I would think, you know, being able to talk to the players on the side and see what they see would be, like, very helpful. So that's why I was hoping they were going to be able to be there.
Yeah, and I fully expect those guys to be, you know, definitely, you know, leaning into their leadership role, and it's going to be important, you know what I mean? I think they all should be there in doing that. I think it'll be big, and man, look, I hate it because both those guys are veteran leaders. You know, I hate that they're starting the season on the sideline, but it is what it is, man. It's just part of it. But yeah, I think they do step in that leadership role, and they definitely can play a big role even just doing that.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. Well, it's 2 days. Well, like you said, 2 days, two nights, and a wake up till all this talk is put away. We'll find out what teams are real.
Wait, man. I hate these guys are hurt, but I'm telling you right now, it's not going to make a difference in this ball game. Florida State ain't nothing but a bunch of talk, bro. Castellanos and all this mess he's talking to. Listen, this team won two. Uno, since Christian likes Spanish. Uno, dos, right? Dos. That's what they won. They are full of dos. They are full of dos. And they want to talk all this noise. Listen, man. Alabama rolls big. You talking about to get the horn ready. Come on, what's the name? Elephant, what do they call the elephant name down there? He's getting ready to dance.
Oh, Big Al. Whoa.
Big Al.
Big Al's getting ready to do it. Yeah, he's getting ready to do his thing. And it's getting ready to be sweet home Alabama to start. They've never been to Tallahassee. First time, but let me just tell
first
you something.
First time.
This is all, and this is also going to be good for recruiting because the script A goes down to Tallahassee, Florida, where there's a lot of talent in those areas that should be showing up at these games. So this is a big showcase for Kalen DeBoer and his Alabama Crimson Tide football team. But I expect the tide to roll. I know we're doing predictions tomorrow, but I tell you right now, roll, tide, roll. And I cannot wait until Danny Cannell and his mouthpiece, I cannot wait to get him shut up. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be fun.
Wait, hold on. And yes, Robbie, I'll let you finish what you got to say. But when we come back, again, we're working on getting Ruben on here. I promise we'll get that going here in a minute. But I got to respond to that because he is just so – I mean, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, you don't see anything that you feel like could be – like, that's not like you, man. I mean, you just really – I think you just really have it out for Florida State because of Danny Cannell. I mean, I know you dislike that guy as much as anybody, man. So
I'm about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but
the truth.
So help me God, El Shaddai.
We gotta break this down a little bit more. I know we've been talking about Florida, but we're gonna revisit. Like, I'm gonna get my opinion because I'm not gonna lie. You're trying to scare me, man. You're a little real confident, brother. And we gotta talk about it because you normally, like you said, you keep it real, and I'm like, you don't see anything. Anything. We'll talk about some of those things. Rob, you got anything you want to say before we hit the top of the break?
Oh, that was it, guys. Enjoy the show.
No, thank you,
brother.
We'll
listen on Monday after the game. All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, we'll have it, brother.
Be blessed, my friend.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, man. We'll have a great, again, Mondays, man. We're really going to dive in to the breakdown. What happened in the game? If you really want to hear a deep analysis, man, make sure you guys are tuning in every day, but definitely Mondays. I promise we're going to really dive in post-game reactions right here on the show. Quick top hour break, timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling. Really going to dive back into this Florida State matchup right here on the Miller's Edge, Title 9.9, 1230, WTBC.
On the game with Ryan Fowler.
One day closer to Alabama Crimson Tide football. We're going to get you caught up to date with all the headlines surrounding the University of Alabama football team. We'll do that with Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. We'll go to Las Vegas. We'll talk to Bruce Marshall from Vegas Insider. He'll set the stage for a busy weekend of college football, all on the Thursday edition of the game, right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest-running sports program in time.
$300 instant gift. For the great sleep you deserve, visit Mattress Firm. We make sleep easy. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first date at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy with a chance of a few showers around this afternoon and tonight. The high today 83, tonight's low 64. Tomorrow mostly cloudy with a few showers around, the high 81. Saturday only isolated showers with a high at 83. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
In baseball, the Mets brought out the brooms.
Swinging a high pop-up. That should do it. Shallow right field. Backpedaling McNeil. He's under it. Makes the catch. Put it in the box. The Mets are back in the hunt. They have swept the three-game series from the first-place Philadelphia Phillies and sliced the Phillies' lead down to just four games in the National League East with 29 to go.
Mets Radio Network on the call. They shut out the Phillies today 6-0. The Dodgers completed a three-game sweep of the Reds, coming out on top 5-1. It was the first time that Cincinnati was swept this season. The Rangers crushed the Angels 20-3 and was the most scored runs by Texas since 2011. And the A's shut out the Tigers 7-0, while the Blue Jays outscored the Twins 9-8, and the Mariners edged the Padres 4-3. At the U.S. Open, 2-seed Carlos Alcaraz and 6-seed Ben Shelton are headed to the third round.
Once again with Christian Miller taking them down. It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here
is college football playoff national champion.
Christian Miller.
On Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Hour number two officially underway, man. Hour number one was very fun. Very fun, man. We're still waiting to get Ruben on here, so I promise I wasn't trying to get over on you guys. Ruben's set to come on here. Just hoping we can get him set up here in the next few minutes or so. But in the meantime, we're going to keep on rocking and rolling, go to you guys a little bit and continue talking about what we've been talking about. We're moving on from the Octagon talk, even though that was Radio Gold, man. Radio Gold. Matter of fact, Sidelines Alabama was in here, and they loved it. They wanted to clip it and post it. But Sidelines Alabama, they run the page on Twitter, man. Great people. They do a good job. But, guys, I just want to say if he ever steps foot in that ring, we might never get him back on this show. So let's just pray.
Man, you crazy. I preached a sermon one time, and it was like, do you know who my daddy is? Right. It's like, even though this dude, whatever you said, I never heard of him. You said he played ball at Alabama? Is that what you said?
No. Look, Eric Andrews, he played here. I wasn't talking about him. I'm saying, like, you know, Derek Lewis, John Jones.
Well, Derek Lewis, let me tell you something. My daddy would give me the strength that they thought the same thing about little ruddy red-headed David when he was facing Goliath. Boy, he's like, I don't even need no pads. I don't even need no helmet. Just give me two smooth stuff. Let me just tell you something. This is what I'm going to do to him. Because these things right here, it ain't going to take but one. It's like George Foreman back in the day. It ain't going to take but one in the chin. And I know how to get right behind that ear. And when I hit him in that ear, it's night Irene. That's what I'm trying to tell you something right now.
Yeah, maybe if you guys were literally if it was a seated boxing match, brother, but you in need of some new knees, brother. You got to move around. You got to stick and move.
I had to get Dr. Kane to help me out first. I need a year. I need a year to get right.
You need the Burton Burns treatment. You need to get those things replaced quick, fast, in a hurry, brother, because in the Octagon, you ain't standing still. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So back to what we were saying. We left off hour number one talking about Florida State. You guys heard my dad. You guys know he's honest to the point. Some of you guys might be confused because it sounds like we almost shifted, right, this year. 2025 feels like we're
shifting. You're the one that's worried.
No. It's not worried. No, I'm doing my due diligence. See, I don't think you've kind of like really – like I've gone and watched tape on both these coordinators, right? I've looked up the guys that they brought in.
We've seen Gus Malzahn. We've seen him in Auburn.
Yeah.
We've seen him at Central Florida.
Yeah.
We know about Gus. Does Gus Malzahn scare anybody? Does Gus Malzahn scare you?
It's not about being scared, though.
His offensive prowess. No. I mean, so Alabama's not like nobody's worried about that.
It's not about being scared, though.
A 5'9" quarterback that's running his poo-poo mouth. Right, and that's all he's been doing about what he's going to do. And I face the best defense every year on my own team at practice. He's talking because he's scared. He's used to going to Duke. He used to playing North Carolina. This is Alabama, bro. This is still Alabama. They ain't been the team the last few years, but it's still Alabama. I mean, this team, if you just not catch on the radio, because I was talking on the YouTube stream, dose. They were dosing 10, right? Figure that out. If you don't know Spanish, my boy on here, I see you got your buddy on here. He know, hello, mi bro.
So yeah, shout out, compas. De la República Dominicana.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, Alabama just needs some pound of football. They got a big, physical, offensive line. I know Jam Miller's not playing, right? Run the football. You're on the road. It's going to be loud. You know you got to
withstand be rainy.
First quarter. It's going to be wet, so you expect to run the football. Advantage Alabama against an undersized defensive line, right? You still got, you know, Williams and these other guys, Jeremy Bernard, and all these dudes that can play on the outside. You got a few frisbee-catching dogs. So you run the football, you get some significant drives, and then play action pass them to death, right? I don't have no fear about the pass. I said this on the YouTube stream, you know, the Bible says Ecclesiastes, There's a time and a season for everything. Let's forget about last year. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind me, let's press on to what lies in front of me, ahead of me. Alabama ain't sitting back here thinking, oh, we struggled against, you know, Johnny Manziel a decade ago. Oh, we struggled against this type of quarterback. We couldn't stop this. Listen, that has zero to do with what's going to happen on Saturday. This team has prepared for that. I believe Cam Womack has looked at those things. They have self, you know, they have self-recruited. They have self-broke down, evaluated everything, whatever adjective you want to use. Find the right players to help those guys on the outside, on the perimeter. They got faster, longer, Ranger-type athletic edge guys, Wolf players. They have done that, right? They understand what they are facing. They will watch tape of Gus Malzahn from down at Central Florida, wherever he was, South Florida. You know, they know what he's done at Auburn. They go back and they look at all of this stuff, all of it. So my thing is, there's no way Alabama should lose this game. There's no way they should lose this game. Now, if they go down there and pee down their legs, that's a shame. And that's going to be a lot of people talking now about the future of Kalen DeBoer if he goes down and lose to the ACC, Atlantic Cupcake Conference. If he goes and lose a game like that, then now you're talking about a whole different conversation next week. So he can't even afford to lose this game. And then finally, for radio listeners, my confidence is in Ryan Grubb. It was not in Nick Sheridan. That was a joke of an offensive coordinator last year. That was a joke of an offense. They depended so much on Jalen Milroe. Now he's gone. I think the fact that Ty Simpson is your starter, it's going to be more of a well-rounded offense with the running game being an important factor in every game. And I see this thing being better. I'm not saying Ty Simpson is better than Jalen Milroe. It's all you haters out there for Milroe. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the fact that they don't have to have so much trust and confidence in this one guy that they had to look at, Jalen Milroe, to win games. Now it's more balanced, it's more well-rounded, and I think this team's going to play better. And now that you don't got a dud on the offensive sidelines calling plays and sharing it, you got a true proven guy that knows what he's doing in Ryan Grubb, and that's why I think this Alabama offense will be better.
Again, and I think – what you're saying is great. I know the fans love it. And I love that you're confident. And I also have confidence we go down there and take care of business. However, I just don't think it's just going to be this cakewalk that it sounds like you're kind of painting. And I don't want to necessarily paint that because I don't believe that. But again, that's just my take. And I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. And I hope.
I didn't say cakewalk.
No, but I mean, you're saying like, okay. Oh, they're a dose. Dose. Right. Solo tuvieron dos victorias la semana pasada, la temporada pasada. Like they only had two wins last season. There you go. Yeah. Put some Spanish in there for you. Definitely kind of chopped it up a little bit. But listen, what I'm getting at is I'm looking at who they are now. I'm not looking at who they were last year or whatever. I'm looking at who is this Florida State team now, because that's who we are going to face. That's who us, Alabama, is going to face August 30th, this Saturday down in Tallahassee. I'm looking at a team that has brought in Gus Malzahn. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, well, I'm scared of Malzahn. I played against a guy. What I'm saying is I do know that you have to be on your P's and Q's when you play against a coordinator like this, coach like this. He was a head coach when we were playing him. When you go against an offense like this, right? And then I look at how I go back and I know our defense is going to be different. It's not fair to say, oh, well, our defense last year versus their team. But I do know going off of history sometimes it helps indicate what you could see. And all I do know is that we did struggle on the road last year. I do know that we did struggle against dual threat quarterbacks that also had, you know, option-based principles in their offense. USF type games like the Vanderbilt game, of course, right? To me, that's just something to consider. That being said, I by no means look at it like, oh man, I'm not painting this scenario that, oh, we need to be afraid or, oh, we're not going. No. I'm saying those are things that you must respect. You must respect those things. Because if we do not improve going into this week one matchup off of those things that I just mentioned, those concerns, those issues from last season, that could be a problem in this first game. That's just a fact. That's the football-based breakdown part of it. Not me just saying, oh, they won two games. No, me really looking at it, right? Going off their personnel, their coaching staff, what scheme they're bringing in. Not to mention you've got weather that could be involved, right, in terms of there being wet footballs out there. Look, if we were able just to go out there and play some clean, dry weather, right, I love that because I'm like, hey, man, set up the run. Obviously, I want to run the football on these guys. You said they're undersized. They might have a couple guys that might be a little undersized, but big Daryl Jackson and that nose is like 6'6", 330, 340. He ain't undersized. And then the end that they brought in from Nebraska, he's like 6'5", 260. I believe their other starter, he's a little bit taller and slender, I think, who plays like tackle. Then I'm not too sure about their jack or outside linebacker. He might be a little undersized. So I think it's kind of a little mix and match, but they've got some guys. Anyway, what I'm getting at is you do have your starting running back, Jam, who the coaches clearly indicated was well above the other backs. Not saying we won't be able to run the football effectively, but I'm taking that into consideration. The guy that you knew was, ahead of the other guys, he's not going to be able to play, right? And to me, I'm like, this is Ty Simpson's first start. He's getting questions and stuff from people about, you know, how to manage it, how to, you know, to keep his composure. Obviously, naturally, there's going to be some nerves there. There's going to be some, you know what I mean? Like, it's probably not going to be the most clean game. So I'm looking at all those factors, and personally, I just don't view it. Now, if it was like, I don't know, say neutral site, good weather, some, you know what I mean? And then they didn't go change coordinators and bring all these guys in. I probably would say, yeah, you could probably lean a little bit more into, okay, a two win team last year. But to me, dude, this is a whole different football team with a lot of unknowns. We don't really know. The coaches, hell, they don't even hardly know. They've had to go and break down, like you said, UCF tape, Nebraska defensive tape, which I've been doing. I've been watching a whole, matter of fact, I got some playing on the big TV right behind me right now. I've been watching this whole week, right? And so I just look at those factors. I do believe we can definitely win this game by two touchdowns. All those things I just said could end up not even being. So like you said, they could have completely honed in on this offseason. We're not going to, you know, number one, I mean, like, I don't know how much you really work on that, you know, playing on the road other than just going out and doing it. But in terms of like stopping quarterbacks with dual threat abilities and option type attacks, I'm sure they did have an emphasis on that, which they needed to. But I'm just saying, we haven't had a chance to really see it in action yet. I've been at practices and scrimmages, but our offense does not run or implement those things anymore, really, because Jalen Milroe's gone. So I won't really have an answer on if we have improved defensively going against those types of attacks until I get to really see it this first week, right? So that's just what it is. That being said,
I'm not saying Alabama's going to walk up in the arena and just steamroll Florida State. I'm saying they're going to win the game, and it should not be difficult. Yes, that's why I said survive the first quarter. That's when you go on the road, first game of the year. It's loud. All the energy is there. Players going to play a lot at a lot higher level than normal. But all you have to do is withstand that, because eventually they come back. They come back to who they really are, right? I had a buddy that played golf in the tournament the other day. He don't really play golf, but he came out there. He was just excited to play in the tournament. And, man, he hit some really good shots that kind of baffled me. But I knew one thing. About two holes later, the real Jamie was going to show up. It was just a matter of time where the real Jamie that can't play golf showed up. Same kind of idea right here. Florida State will play hard. It's Alabama. They want to try to make a statement. It's on TV. If you beat Alabama, you know, you get street cred regardless. If you beat the script A, it still means something. So I'm just saying they'll play hard like that. But I just believe, after we've had Caleb DeBoer on here and talking to you and other folk down there, that they learned something. I asked Caleb DeBoer this question: what did you learn after year number one? And the fact that they don't have all these Mickey Mouse, the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey circus crap going around practice. You're not bringing alcoholics to practice and to break my team down. You're not allowing everybody, their mama and grandma and everybody that say I'm a podcaster and we got these followers into your building. The fact that you start securing the borders, no pun intended right there, and say, you know what, guys, you got to show your tail up on practice on time. There's no more tardiness and no more lateness. Mentally, that told me something, that they're going to be more focused. And he knows this. He can't allow that to happen in year two at Alabama, because year three, as I've been saying, if it's anything like last year, year three is going to be a circle year that says, will he be the coach here for longevity or not? Right? And he knows this. So, and then my last point, if you go back, if you want to go play history, you're talking about what Alabama didn't do and how they struggled on the road and didn't stop this or that. Well, year two in history says Kalen DeBoer, the second year, his teams go, that trajectory is upward. Like, he does very well in year number two. So we're going to play the historical game with numbers and stats and records. Year two says Kalen DeBoer is going to have a pretty good year. I'm just saying, I'm hitching my trailer to that. And I think just because I'm big on attitude, I'm big on making the locker room, practice field, your sanctuary, not allowing all this outside influence, because this is the space now of college football, podcasts, and all this crazy circus stuff happening. No, no, no. Shut that crap down. Mm. Focus on what you got and train up your players, get them developed and ready to go. I just think that's what they're doing. And I would be shocked if we saw anything any different.
Fair. And like, and everything you've said, I've been saying, I agree with you. I mean, everybody knows that. I've been talking about the attitude. Hell, just listen to Kalen DeBoer when he does his press conferences. You can sense the a lot more seriousness, right? He's running a tighter ship. I told you guys from the first day of camp, even back in the spring, things felt different, right? So everything you're describing, and I've talked about it, to me, a matter of fact, just the other day, talking about the difference it makes, right? When you have teams that are, you know, led, you know, player led, right? There's accountability amongst each other, right? Everybody buying in. Trust me, I agree 100%, but I'm not talking about the season. I agree that I think year two under Kalen DeBoer is going to be great. I picked Alabama to be in the SEC championship game. We're all in agreement there. I'm just talking about this week one matchup. With it being week one, those are just some things that when I've watched the tape, I feel like they're things to consider. I think if Alabama goes out there, number one, this is what I think they need to do. Start with the defense. You got to stop the first and second down. You got to make sure you stop them, right? We know Gus Malzahn is going to look to run the football. He's just looking to get at it, get to it in a number of different ways, right? You're going to see a lot of, you know, pre-snap motion, a lot of jet motion, right? Some jet sweeps. We'll see them operate zone read, RPO type action. We already know what you're going to get. How disciplined can this team be, right? How prepared are they going to be? Is there going to be good communication there? Because we know the other thing they do, when they do have success running the play, they'll get right back on the ball, run it again, right? There's going to be some tempo elements to this team. How well does Alabama do on first and second down? Why is that important? Well, we know last year, number one, this defense struggled getting off the football field on third down. That needs to be better. But two, I do believe, look, Tommy Castellanos, I mean, or however you say his last name, I think if you set him up for third and long, I think this team is really going to struggle. Florida State is. I really do. Right? And I think as long as you secure him in that pocket and you contain him, because obviously we know he's going to be able to improvise and make plays with his legs, I agree. I think this defense will be okay. And I think offensively, if I'm being completely honest with you, I'm not too worried about it. Like you said, I mean, I think our offense is really going to, you know, have that upward trajectory this year. And like you said, not just because of one player, be clear on that, but just because, I mean, Ty stepping in, I do think he's a better fit clearly there. I think they'll be able to do more of what they want to do with this system, like Ryan Grubb said. Again, that wasn't a shot at Jalen Milroe. It's just what it was. If you have Lamar Jackson, you have to tailor stuff to Lamar Jackson. You wouldn't have him drop back 40 times and never run any zone read stuff. That'd be stupid. So I think they have a guy that fits what they want to do. They'll be able to do better in terms of basically implementing their system the way they want. Plus, the receiver room is much better. Offensive line play, it looks to be better from what I've seen being out there at practice. Offensively, I think we'll be all right. I do know it is going to be an interesting matchup, knowing their defensive coordinator, their system. It's a multiple defense, 3-3-5. They get into a lot of 4-2-5 looks. They mix it up. They'll plug backers. They run a lot of stunts, right? It's going to be important that the offensive line is on their P's and Q's and communication that in that aspect, right, executing things. But I think they don't have to do anything fancy. I think you just have to go out there, out-physical them, set up your running game, get tied into some rhythm throws, some easy throws, let those playmakers make plays. You got Ryan Williams, Jeremy Bernard. Throw some screens in there, some quick pass stuff. Give them the football and just let them run with it. You know they have yard after catchability. You don't need to do anything crazy. And when the shots are there, because they've shown that, that's one thing I did see with this defense there will be availability to take some shots because they are aggressive at times. When those come up, take advantage of it. And I think we'll be just fine. I just personally think from my football mindset, you have to be respectful of those things that I started with. Because if you don't handle those things, I think that's when you could get in trouble. I think if I could just say, what are some recipes for disaster? Undisciplined football, going on the road, a bunch of penalties, right? Wet conditions can lead to turnovers. We know turnovers, man. The turnover battle is huge, right? Undisciplined football in terms of not, you know, playing to your assignment, going against the offense that's looking to get you out of position and to mess you up intentionally, right? All those things could lead to some bad football plays and really could set you behind the eight ball, like Coach DeBoer had mentioned. You got to start quick. One of our biggest problems about playing on the road last year was we didn't get out to good starts and we were playing from behind. We don't need this team trying to play from behind, at least not right now. They need some more time to really gel and kind of figure themselves out before you really get, you know what I mean, get into that. And that's going to come, especially in October when you got all those games to go on that stretch. So those are some things I'm just looking at in this football game. That being said, I fully am confident. I think we take care of business. I just think some people that go, oh, Florida State sucked last year, man. We'll go down there. I would pump the brakes on that approach. I'm not saying you think that, but I've heard some people take that approach.
I gave my reasons. I'm not going to go back to those, through those. But listen, I'm just saying Mike Norvell, I'm not buying his Kool-Aid.
But let me ask you this. What about the players? Because I did hear him say this. I think they did change their approach to the players that they brought in. Last year, we know what they did. They took a bunch of salvage yard guys from Alabama, right, and a bunch of backups from Alabama, paid them a whole bunch of money, just banking on, oh, they just needed a place to really to flourish and to really, you know, let, like, you know, demonstrate what they could do. They just were, you know, behind a bunch of depth at Alabama. This year, if you look at the guys they brought in guys that they feel a lot more confident can just really step in and go ahead and play. You look at Squirrel White. Right. You look at the tall receiver from USC. His name's slipping my mind, but they're going and getting more proven guys from the portal. The offensive lineman they brought, all of them are redshirt senior type guys. You know what I mean? Like the defensive end they brought in from Nebraska, five and a half sacks, I think, last year, second on the team. They're bringing guys that they know aren't just like, oh, hopeful players. To me, I think that's
and those are a bunch of guys that you don't even remember their name. That tells me everything.
That wide receiver from Southern Cal is a good player, man. And he's a 6'6", like 220, 230.
Because he was that good, he probably would have still been at Southern Cal. I'm just saying, let's just keep it real. But if he was still doing that, they would have pulled out the checkbook and gave him some money to stay in on the West Coast. That didn't happen. They take a ride, do what you need to do. I'm just saying, I'm sure they're nice players. They're plug-and-play type dudes that can play. But I'm just saying, man, all this transfer portal stuff, Florida State was the dirtiest team, in my opinion, because they went and poached players from everywhere. They was, in my opinion, they were poaching guys. Several of them from South Carolina, some of South Carolina's better players, they came down here and poached. Posted Alabama, post Southern Cal, post Oregon, post. They've been doing this, and it worked the 1 year where they almost got away with it, but then the quarterback gets hurt, and they couldn't finish the year. So I think that's hard to try to duplicate. Listen, FSU, in other words, in the words of Steve Spurrier, Free Shoes University, it ain't going to work. It's not going to work this time. I just think Alabama is going to be. I think Alabama, this is a statement game for them as well. We're talking about Florida State. I'm just leaning on the side of statement. I think this is a statement game for Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb, back together again. You know, nobody's talking about Jalen Miro no more. Let's move forward. It is now Ty Simpson's job. You got some frisbee-catching dogs on the outside. You feel like you got a secondary that should be one of the best in the country, more senior-oriented. I think they're set up. Now, are there going to be some struggle games? Yes. South Carolina, Georgia, they got some tough games. Tennessee, I mean, they're going to get those tough games. And the first half could be tough. But I think they find a way just because of the mindset in that locker room now is a lot more tough, in my opinion, than it was last year. I think they're getting back to, you know, Nick Saban Esque mindset of when it, and the approach when it comes to playing football. That's all I'm saying. And I think that will be on display on Saturday. I'll be shocked. I said again, I'll be shocked. You know me. If I didn't think so, I wouldn't. I'm not just saying this to make Bama fans feel good. I'm saying this because this is what I believe. And if they go out there and do the opposite, and then my conversation going forward is going to be a lot different. I promise you that. But right now, that's what I expect.
Fair enough. All right, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide
100. Free Irish Pub, often imitated but never duplicated. Fridays at the Free with me, Gary Harris, this fall at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are
and earn Kohl's cash all weekend.
Trust me, your future cozy self will thank you.
Select styles, some exclusions apply. Offer ends September 1st. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy with a chance of a few showers around this afternoon and tonight. The high today, 83. Tonight's low, 64. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a few showers around. The high, 81. Saturday, only isolated showers with a high at 83. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Thursday, this is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport expert. So I did hear back from Ruben. He got tied up again. I know he has a newborn and he's kind of got a lot. So I do apologize because I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. But what we'll probably do is we'll probably just push it to tomorrow if he's freed up tomorrow. That way we can get him on for plenty of time because we only got probably 15 minutes or so. So be a squeeze, and I'd rather just wait till we have plenty of time to get him to, you know, hop on here. Even if we got to push it to next week, we can talk about something else. But I promise we weren't trying to clickbait you or anything like that. Like I said, I mean, I'm texting Ruben now. So he got tied up, unfortunately, which, you know, stuff happens. No big deal on that. I just feel bad for you guys. I hope you don't think we tried to clickbait you. I promise, I swear to God, that wasn't the case. But anyway, let's keep on rolling here. Carlos says, I just got a notification. Who's the next man up behind Tim Keenan? Good question. So next man up would be Jeremiah Beeman, big guy who a lot of people have been really excited about. I mean, he's, if I'm being completely honest with you, even before Tim went down, I mean, he's been getting a lot of reps, even with the ones throughout, you know, spring and fall camp. So I talked about this yesterday. He shouldn't have a problem stepping up in Tim's place. Now, he doesn't have the receipts. He hadn't really played. But in terms of what he's been doing, you know, behind the scenes, you know, in spring and fall camp, they've been pleased with his play, 100%. However, my biggest issue, I think, from the whole Tim situation is across the defensive line, I know people were talking about us having good depth. We do. But unfortunately, the one spot on the defensive line where we don't have much depth is the nose tackle spot. If you look at it, you got Jeremiah Beeman behind him. And then after that, really, I mean, who else do you throw out there? I mean, you've got Edric Hill, who a little more undersized to try to play nose, in my opinion. Probably could do it. Obviously, James Smith being back and healthy, because remember, he was beat up this fall camp. That's a great sign, even though he's at the tackle spot. But still, I mean, at least now you're not down your two interior defensive linemen. But, I mean, I think Edric Hill, Jeremiah Beeman, you'll see those guys in there. Could maybe see one of the younger guys like Faga. But other than that, man, that's the only thing. That's unfortunately the one spot you don't have too much depth. At Bandage, you've got plenty of depth. I mean, you go down the list, you got LT Overton, you got Jordan Renaud, you got Keon Keeley, you got a transfer from Florida, you got Kelby Collins, right? You look at even, you know, D tackle, there's a number of other guys that you kind of throw out there, but nose a little bit thinner there. So talk about a matchup where Florida State, they're going to be running the football. Could see some tempo in there for sure. You're probably expecting to have a good rotation amongst that defensive line. I think that does kind of hurt you with the Tim Keenan injury. Not so much. I think Jeremiah Beeman can step up in Tim's place and play just fine. That's not the problem. It's more so the depth behind him that kind of causes me some concern. So I guess we'll see. I guess we'll have to see how that ends up playing out. Let's see. Somebody said your dad's in here tripping Bama by 14. Are they agreeing with you?
I never said that. Somebody said that I said Bama by 14.
You did say that. You said two touchdowns.
I said 10 or more. They went by 10 or more.
No, you said two touchdowns.
I did?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll take it. I'm not afraid of that.
No, ain't nothing wrong with that.
But the spread is, what's the spread?
13 and a half, two touchdowns.
Ah, wow, I'm so far off.
I think, like you said, first half tight, second half kind of start pulling away. Two touchdowns, I think, is very realistic. I'm just saying, again, I know you're confused after everything I said earlier. I'm just saying you got to respect those factors. That's all.
Yeah, but what makes Florida State? Why are these folks are thinking that Florida State is this juggernaut all of a sudden? That's what surprised me.
It's not a juggernaut. It's what I was explaining. It's not a juggernaut.
It's Florida State. They was terrible last year. Yeah, go back.
But come on, man. Like, you're a football
Charles
guy, brother.
Barkley,
you're a football, bro.
I get all of that.
You're a football guy. Saying, you're a football guy. This is a new age in college football.
Man, I don't care. They don't have a trigger man that I have any confidence in. That's all I'm saying. If they had a better guy, well, I've seen Castellano play. I get a lot of ACC football where I'm at here in Columbia, South Carolina. So I'm just saying, we'll talk more about it tomorrow. I know there's some people got different questions on the chat for sure.
No, you're good. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
We're going to see. We're going to see. I would be shocked. I would be disappointed if Alabama goes out there and play haphazard football. I really would be. I'll be shocked because I just think the attitude of this team is finally right. It's finally right. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. But I'm talking about Florida State. I'm not talking about us. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about Florida State, and I'm just answering your question. You keep saying what's. It's not that there's some juggernaut all of a sudden. It's more of an unknown. You keep just jumping to 2-10. But if you look at it, I'm pretty sure. I don't even know if they. I think they have like maybe one returning guy on their whole starting offense. I could be wrong, and I think on defense it's only just a couple. Like,
well, we can look at it. Go ahead and talk. I'll look at it.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. Like, all right, like I'll run down the depth chart real quick. And again, this is not to make it seem like, oh, that means they're just going to be, like a playoff contender. No one's saying that. I'm just saying I think you're playing it a little too loose if you just go, oh, they're 2-10. Why are we worried? I'm just saying.
That's Deuce not what Robinson. I'm saying. I'm
No. I know. I'm just telling you. But hear me out. So Deuce Robinson, looking at this roster right here, Deuce Robinson transferred in from Southern Cal. Again, 6'6", 220. I mean, I think he was highly recruited coming out of high school. I mean, that's, you know, a good football player. Javon Boggs, he's a freshman, but Mike Norvell has raved about him, and they are really excited about what he can do, right? He's another young guy that they expect to make some plays for them this football season. Squirrel White is a senior that we are very familiar with. We played against him when he was at Tennessee. He's got some juice to him. He's quick, can run routes, more of a slot guy. But he definitely has played college football, a good football player. They added him. So their whole receiver room is totally new. We don't know much about, I guess you know about Squirrel. Other than that, those are all different guys from last year. In terms of the offensive line, I'm pretty sure all but maybe one of these guys are new. I'm just trying to go because I know we got limited time, but all new guys there. right? The quarterback is new. I'm not saying he's some great quarterback, but he does possess a skill set that, in my opinion, can lead to some explosive plays, right? I mean, even if he's trash 60% of the time, I mean, he's got a skill set where if you don't contain him the right way, he could take off and pick up 30 yards and move, keep the chains going. I'm just saying, like, this is something to consider. And then he's also paired up with an offensive coordinator who really benefits from having a guy like that. We've seen that year in and year out, who also is new. Offensive coordinator Gus Malzahn, he wasn't there last year. And look, he's been around the block. I mean, he's been in this game for a long time. And we know him personally. We know what he's capable of. So that's also new. Not too sure about the tight ends off the top of my head, but then running back, Roydell Williams. You know Roydell. You liked Roydell a lot when he was here a couple of years ago. He was injured last year. Yeah, he didn't play much last year because he was hurt. Then I also think this other guy, Gavin Sawchuk, I'm pretty sure he transferred in as well. So that's what I'm saying. It's a whole new team. So if you just go like, oh, they only won two games last year, it really doesn't matter because that's a whole new offense with a whole new offensive coordinator. Hell, they could be worse than last year. But 9 times out of 10, I probably would guess they're probably going to be better, right, because of all that newness. Going on the defense, I'm not as familiar with all these guys. I'm not going to lie to you. I do know James Williams is the edge transfer from Nebraska. Trying to think of who else on the list is new. I think this other edge guy might be new as well. I know they brought in a couple other guys in the secondary. Maybe
I don't care who they brought in. You're talking about a patchwork football team. This is a Rubik's Cube football team. They got all people from everywhere, all kind of colors, all of jerseys. You want to come and play here? Oh, come on. You want to come and play? This is a patchwork football team. And one, you're talking about game one, these guys haven't been together that long. So when you talk about camaraderie, when you're talking about, you know, having that type of synergy, they might have, they're going to have a difficult time because they haven't, you got all these players from all these different parts trying to figure out how to play together. Well, Alabama have guys that have played together. And this big offensive line is going to be much better. That I feel like this offensive line is going to be dominant. They're going to allow them to play four-minute style offense, running the football downhill, first down, move the chains. That's who they're going to be, being physically dominating. And that presence is going to be felt at 3:30 on Saturday. I'm just saying, Florida State is trying to fill positions from everywhere. That's a problem. That tells me you haven't done a good job in recruiting, right? You've been out here just playing, you know, Deion Sanders. Yeah, you can have a level of success. You know, most of Deion Sanders' locker room at Colorado is transfer guys. That's hard to win at a high level at a consistent pace is all I'm saying. And the fact that game number one, the weather could be a problem. You're playing a team that's got a lot of guys back, that's play with each other. I'm just saying, to me, it's going to be the difficulty is going to come on the Florida State side of things, not Alabama, because I understand when you got a bunch of different guys from different places, different systems, and you're trying to get them to get in rhythm, to get in concert, to get in synergy together, and whether it be offense or defense, I think it's hard after week one. Can they develop that? 3-4 weeks down the road? Potentially, yes. But game number one against a team that's been together, right, I think it's just going to be difficult. And I think they're going to have a hard time beating a very good Alabama team. Alabama wasn't great last year. They won 9 games, but they were good. They were good and could have won 11 games and done some things differently. I'm just saying, they have learned from last year. What makes you better? When you learn from your mistakes, when you learn from the things that did not work for you in year number one, if you're Kalen DeBoer, they learn from those things. And history states that he flourishes in year number two. That's what I'm banking on. And if it's not the case, then next week, of course, my tone's going to change. We're going to have a different conversation. And I would be extremely disappointed. And then I would be saying stuff like, I really understand or know how long he's going to be here.
No, but see, that's what I'm, come on. But after week one, man, that's what I'm saying. You've been working on your church, new church. You got so much time invested over there.
I don't think you really,
No, man. Listen,
tripping. Listen, man. Here's the thing. I will say this: Kalen DeBoer has some throw up game, some diarrhea game at Vanderbilt. Oklahoma running for almost 200 yards.
Michigan.
The bowl game. Those were games that they want to forget. Those are the types of games they don't want any recollection and or memory of those football games.
Right.
I'm just saying, they can't have that. And to me, playing Florida State is another game that could potentially be that if you lose. Right? Because now you're talking about everybody in the country going to be down on you. I know it's one game, and I know that can be overcome. But from a national perspective, if they go down to Tallahassee and pee down their legs, then everybody in the country going to start saying, Kalen DeBoer's not the guy. Kalen DeBoer's not the guy.
Yeah,
Alabama, not Alabama. Because this is not the typical Alabama. Then those conversations are going to resurface. That's all I'm saying.
No, they will. That's will. But I'm saying, you know better than to say that week one is week one. But I'm saying,
Know. I'm just saying what the perspective is going to be. I know that they can recover. But I'm just going to say, though, I'm going to be in that same camp. Because I'm saying, bro, you had all this offseason to get your team right, to get their mind right, as Coach Cochran used to say, and set their minds on the things that matters most for 2025. And if you go down there, it's going to be very disappointing if you're Alabama and if they pee down their legs against a Florida State team that nobody in America has any kind of confidence. You might be the only one that's talking the way the confidence about Florida. Maybe you're trying to a little reverse psychology you're trying to use, but you might be the only one. I watched the Inside the College Football Show last night. I'm back in that zone. I just reloaded up my SiriusXM. Why? Because I'm listening. I'm tuning in. I'm listening. I'm leaning in to see what these people are talking about, what they saying about Alabama. And you know, the Baltimore boys last night said Alabama is going to roll Tyrone. And I don't disagree with them because they're saying the same things that I have been saying. And so, listen, fans, I'm not saying pound your chest and all that, you know, but they got to go down there and handle their business and make an early statement going forward about who they are in year number two under Kalen DeBoer. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Kalen DeBoer, and two.
Kalen out of saying whatever
let's
name.
Let's not make it seem like, again, I clearly said I think we go down and win this football game. I'm not one, so I'm concerned about the result of the football game. I think we win the football game for sure. I'm very confident. Matter of fact, we win the football game. My job is to break it down and try to give, just like same with you, my keys to what I feel like will happen in this game, what to look out for, what to expect, how it could play out. Based off of my experiences, my thoughts, all my analysis. That's just what I'm doing. And those are the things that have come up. And I just think they're worthy of mentioning. That's it. Again, that being said, we could go down there, beat them by 3-4 touchdowns. We could go down there, only beat them by a field goal. You got weather, you got new coaches on board, a whole bunch of new players. No one knows how it's going to go. I don't care how much those guys from ESPN get paid. They could be just as wrong too. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. No one knows. But we'll find out in 2 days.
Well, they're wrong a lot. You know I'm not a big fan of all the pundits, but I'm just saying, but they are right. And we are right. Or I am, at least. Just
saying. Brother, I've been saying, I'm with
there you. Is a reason why you should have somewhat of a... And listen, it's Free Shoes University. Okay.
Free y'all shoes trying, or free crab legs? I thought free shoes or free crab legs.
Well, they was free everything. I mean, true. You know how they roll honey chicken. With that honey chicken, well,
honey chicken was hidden, boy.
That honey chicken was good. I ain't gonna lie to you.
They got some good chicken.
They
got
that brother down in that kitchen. That honey chicken.
Well, our inner brother's coming out talking about chicken
right now. We can get this every home pregame. Get this chicken right now. I give them that. But all I'm just saying, listen. It's, guys, let me just say, because I'm going to get off here. Because I got these city folks in my background right here. They're watching the show. Yeah, that's bacalao. You know what bacalao is? It's cod, salty fish. And that's what bacalao, that's her name. She works here at the cigar shop here in Columbia. There's somebody here nearby that's watching, too. What's up? Shout out. Smoke break. That's what we do, our men's Bible study. And that's one of the deacons over there. He's over there in the corner.
Well, good deal. Well, listen, we're about out of time. Speaking of cigars, shout out to R&R Cigars. No, we'll run it back tomorrow. Tomorrow we got our prediction. Shout out to R&R Cigars again. If you're looking for cigars here in Tuscaloosa, R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street is where you find them. Check them out. Go watch the game there. All type of games, boxing matches, UFC. If you want to see my dad get beat down the ring, you probably watch it over at R&R Cigars because they pay for the events right there as well. Best humidor in the Southeast. Code Miller's Edge. Get you 20% off all your orders on their website, rnrcigars.com. What are you waiting for? Go do that. And again, Fridays, we will be at 1225 as well. So make sure you guys hang out with us. Not this Friday, but home game weekends. Next Friday, we'll be live at 1225. Looking forward to seeing you guys there. Up next, you got Wyatt and T-Town Sports Daily right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. See you guys next time. Up next, we got Wyatt.